Today on the Cooligans, we are 1 week away from the World Cup. We are getting ready and we start with our power rankings. We talk about our top 15. Alexis has not seen my picks. Mm-mm. I have not seen Alexis's picks.
They're not.
So we will, you can judge our World Cup power rankings, our top 15.
That's right. And plus, we talked to a lot of people on the show. Wait to hear these names. We got Alex Morgan. We got Miles Robinson. We got Tim Ware. And we got Mark McKenzie. Oh, my God. It doesn't end. If you played in the World Cup and you're not on the show, you got a bad agent. That and more today on the Cooligans. But that's fine. No, it's fine. What happened while I was gone in this damn parade?
I'm charging the speaker.
Wow, London. Yes. What an incredible time.
Yeah, I saw the video.
I was trying to put up multiple videos. England has this thing where they're just like, hey, we're going to shut something down. And then everyone just is okay with it. I could see why you guys were, didn't win the Revolutionary War. All right, look.
it's starting to make sense.
I mean, if it wasn't for us, you'd be speaking German. You'd be wearing this shirt. This would be a national team shirt. I was there, bro. All of a sudden, I got 5G. I got 5 bars. I'm thinking I'm good. You know what I mean? Wifey had texted me while I was walking. Yo, did you get there? And it took a while because all the trains were shut down, which is another thing. I get to the train. They only let us go one stop.
Also, just for content, you haven't said this yet. You were there for the...
I was in London. I was there for the
parade.
Parade.
Yes, yeah. Just let people know.
Okay, catch up. Catch up, mustard, whatever you want to do. Let me relish in it. Uh-huh. All right. So I'm on a lot of coffee. I'm in London, right? So it's the day of the parade. The parade starts at 2 at 9 a.m. I leave my hotel, which is about 20 minutes away from where the parade is going to be, right? So I'm thinking it's a nice casual little train ride. I'm going to get a cup of coffee. Right? Here's the other thing, by the way. The hotel, right? When you get a room with Amex, they give you $100 credit and free breakfast. You don't get like the free breakfast, like you make yourself a waffle at like a Holiday Inn. Yeah. You can order whatever you want, right? But apparently that hotel also has a free breakfast option. So I'm now convincing the guy, I'm like, I'm allowed to have an iced coffee. I know that's not part of, it's like, I'm on Amex. I'm now yelling, I don't want to be. Mm-hmm. And I said, can I get this to go? And the guy goes, I don't know. And I said, okay, can you find out? Why are you looking at me still? You know what I mean? He said, I don't know. Did not venture out to figure out. He just stared at me as if I was going to change. I was going to be like, no, you're right. Let me get avocado toast. I'll be sitting here for the rest of the day. What is wrong with you?
I mean, that's how British people would respond. They'd be like, oh, an inconvenience? I'm sorry.
Keep that thought process because that's the theme for the rest of the day. All right? So this guy goes, I don't know. And I said, is it possible you find out? And he goes, I'll be right back. What would be the, if you were that waiter, what would be the next thing you did?
You speak to a manager, right. So higher up.
Yeah. Okay, because I told you, hey, I'm in a bit of a rush. I need this coffee to go. Mm-hmm. The next thing he did was to clear off the table next to me. So now I'm staring at my man like, remember that rush part? I'm like, what are you doing, right? In my head, I'm thinking, what are you doing? So I look at Donna. I say, hey, enjoy your breakfast. I'm going to go. I'm going to get a coffee upstairs. This isn't going to happen. I said, in fact, I'm going to tell him so he doesn't go get in trouble asking. Mm-hmm. So I said to him, I go, hey, cancel that coffee to go. I'm just going to get one on the way. I'm sorry. I got to run. He goes, oh, I'm really sorry. You're probably not. Right? You got a dirty plate of eggs in your hands. You're not. Mm-hmm. Right? You didn't even try. So I was like, whatever. I leave. My wife texts me 20 minutes later. She goes, the guy just brought me a coffee to go.
Wow.
20 minutes later.
20 minutes later.
After I told him
the coffee's cold.
The coffee, it was supposed to be cold. Now it's hot. It's a 20 minutes later. He's like, yo, where's your husband?
Is your room temperature coffee?
Remember when he told you I'm good? So anyway, that was the vibe of the day. I left there, go to the train. This is the train I got to take to the thing. I said to the guy, I go, hey, there's 2 northern lines. Am I taking the right one? He goes, yeah, don't worry about it. Go downstairs. You'll get there in 3 stops. I get on the train. Train makes an announcement. We're only going 1 stop. No one's allowed to go anywhere near the parade route. Uh-huh. It's already got too many people. I said, all right, whatever. We're all getting off. And what do you think of Todd? The whole train. There's like a little old lady with like one of those like food carts. Yeah. She's not getting home. Right? She's like, sorry, lady, you're not part of the parade. What'd you get at the supermarket? Okay, because we're all eating it. We all get off. The whole thing, there's 3 escalators to go up. All the escalators are running. No one's getting on the train. Me, the New Yorker, I'm like maybe 20 feet, 30 feet back. And I go, yo, what's the problem? Everyone turns around looking at me.
Of course, yeah.
Guy with that accent.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, they're not letting us up. And I go, why? And then I hear him talk to the police. I was like, so the police always stopped you and you didn't even say what's going on. Yeah, There's like a billion people behind me. We're all trying to get off. They just told us all to get off at this train station. And he goes, he says to wait. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we should wait.
high respect of authority.
I'm like, I'm I the only one? Turns out I'm the only one. People are like, could you calm down, sir? I was like, why? None of you know why we're being caged?
Yeah, you know
what I mean? let me be honest. Let's go spill tea in the one in the tent.
Are we trapped in the tube forever?
Like, that's it. So we live here and only y'all cool with it? Nobody said anything. We go upstairs. I start walking. Mm-hmm. I'm walking all the way. Yeah, go ahead. Get the speaker. Don't worry about it. So I'm walking all the way. Now he's just turning lights on. Do you work at the hotel I was just at by any chance? So this is ridiculous. He's just turning lights on and stuff. So whatchamacallit? I'm talking to your back. This is sucks. All right, but listen. I walk all the way to the parade. Right? I didn't get a ticket for the bar where all the Brooklyn Invincibles were.
Gotcha.
Because the guy who runs is like, bro, you're good. Right? Mm-hmm. Guess who meets me? Danny Carbassion. You know who that is.
Sure.
The first American ever played for Arsenal. He's my boy. We're hanging out. So I go, hey, before we go in, let me go buy one of these bootleg championship like flags. I go to the guy. He's got two left. And I say, yo, how much? And the guy goes, £30. I was like, sure it is. And the guy behind me goes, one of the guys from Brooklyn Invincible is like, wait, you only have two left? He goes, yeah. He goes, how much for both? He goes, it's 30. He goes, I'll do both for 30. I go, wow, 50% discount right off the rip. That's impressive. And I was like, yo, I got 20 cash. I'll give it to you for both. And he goes, all right. I go, all right, I got to do card. I don't have any cash on me.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, all right, but I'm going to charge you an extra pound for tax. And I go, you and me both know you ain't paying tax on it. The government's not going to know about any of this. The guy starts laughing. He goes, all right, you're right. Whatever, 20 pounds. So boop, bop, 20 pounds. Get it? I go to walk in. The lady goes, are you on the list? The dude who runs Brooklyn Invincible is like, bro, he's Alexis. He's good. Mm-hmm. And this is his boy, Danny. They're good. And she's like, if you're not, and they got a security guard. They got like a legit security guard. Wow, big dude.
Yeah.
She's like, if you're not on the list, you're not getting in. And in my head, I'm thinking, I could probably just wait outside. Like, we're in front. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's passing right in front of the bar. I'm like, I don't need to go inside. Maybe they'll let me go in and use the bathroom or get a beer, but I don't need to like sit inside. I'd rather be outside. But then I was like, you know what? I've been inconvenienced at the hotel. I've been inconvenienced at the train, right? These people don't know how to talk to authority. I know how to talk to authority. And that's by completely walking past them. I'm just not going to talk to them. So I said to him, I go, nah, Jason put me on the list. I go, yo, my wife really didn't even let me go to this parade until like 2 hours ago. So I didn't buy a ticket, but they have extra tickets. So it's under Jason's name. I'm sure he's got like a +8 or +10.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, are you sure you're supposed to be here? I go, of course. Also, this is Danny Carbassion. He played for the team.
Yeah. I mean,
I go, if you don't let us in, this is going to be insane. Because we're going to tell everybody you didn't let an Arsenal player into your bar during an Arsenal parade. That'd be crazy. I wouldn't want that for you. I don't think you want that for you. I go, I'm sure your owner that has Arsenal memorabilia up all over, because this is, we're right by the stadium. I go, none of you want this. I don't want this for you. So we're both going to walk in. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to buy a lot of beers. We're going to have a good time. In fact, I'm even going to pee directly in the toilet. I'm not going to get any sprinkles on the outside. Your place is not going to be diminished in any way, shape, or form. Is that cool? And she goes, you're a cheeky little bastard. You know that? I go, I grew up without a father. How dare you call me a bastard? I look at this security guard. I go, you see what she just did? I go, wow. I go, who do I speak to? Is it the owner? Are you the owner? Are you the manager? And she's like, all right, whatever. Just give him a wristband and let him in. So I don't want to hear anymore. Right? So I go, thank you so much. I go, can I get you anything? Water, beer? And she goes, no, I'm good. Danny's like, you know, I could have just texted the owner. You didn't have to do all of that. I was like, well, why didn't you say that in the middle of me telling this woman I grew up without a father? So, dude, we go inside. Everything's fine. Except, you know how people were hanging out on roofs?
Mm-hmm.
There were a bunch of people on the roof above this bar. All of a sudden, we're standing in the bar starting to get packed. A bunch of people start running in from the back door, running out of the front. Bunch of dudes, shirtless, the whole nine. I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? What, the cops must be upstairs. Somebody goes out and she goes, no, the roof is on fire. No one left the bar. I was like, jeez. You listen to the cops, but you don't run away when there's a fire?
It wasn't just the song? The roof is on fire?
I'm like, we're raising the roof. It was such a weird experience. I will tell you this. We all left. We started walking. We went to King's Cross, which is like their Penn Station. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's right next to, it's like not that far from Houston, which is like their Port Authority. It's like all the biggest train stations. Bro, cops weren't letting anybody in. I had to walk for like 40 minutes. Eventually, me, Ryan Hunt, and Danny just sat at a Greek restaurant. I text D. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to make it for dinner. I'm just going to have to eat here unless you want to come meet me. And she's like, the trains are fine. I was like, of course they are. That's why I'm not coming to you. So I sat there with them. I'm like, what a romantic night.
Okay. But it was, I mean, I saw the
tzatziki was fire.
I saw the video from Just Gunnar Vibes. And
I told you I was going to buy a couple beers. Yeah. All right. That explains.
No. It looked genuinely fun. You looked so genuinely happy to be there.
Donna was like, okay, I got video from our wedding day where you don't look like that. It was such a. The fact that we had lost the Champions League final didn't matter to anybody.
Okay.
Like the fact that we were allowed to have a parade. It just felt like, look at this. Here's 22 years. Everyone had like memorabilia of their fandom for 22 years. I wore the kit that I wore on the first time I ever got a chance to go to the Emirates. The first Arsenal game I ever got to go to. People were like, oh, this was the kit my dad bought me when I finally got old enough. Or this was, people had like programs of their first ever Arsenal game. It was like such a weird, it felt like a bit of like Arsenal Con and a parade at the same time.
Got it.
The fact that the player, by the way, I didn't even see the players. There were so many red flares, I couldn't see anything. I made eye contact with Calafiori through the smoke. That was it. Like, you couldn't, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, by the way, and you know me, I'm not an emotional guy, right? It's one of my green flags.
What a great feature.
Who needs to cry? I keep the water on the inside. right? When I'm older, closer to my ankles. So I'm sitting there, and there's I'm walking past, someone has a big-ass piano. Like a real piano, like a church piano, a grand piano, like a church, like the one with the slits in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts playing North London Forever. And people were there walking, just stopped. I might be wrong, but it felt like 80 to 90 people just stopped and all started singing North London Forever. Bro, I thought somebody was cutting onions near me. I was like, dog,
it takes.
What are my eyes doing? We don't do this. It was wild. It was a moment where I'm like, you know what? 22 years was worth it. And thank God it took 22 years because I was too poor to fly over before, you know? I would have missed all that.
That's right. This
don't win when I'm a broke boy.
This victory is for the wealthy.
Honestly, after looking at my Amex bill, it was.
Okay.
By the way, he charged me for the coffee. Isn't that crazy? I had to get that off. I had to explain the whole story to the lady at the checkout.
All right. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. Now, the World Cup is a couple days away. So,
bro, the Knicks won the first game of the finals and the World Cup. Bro, what a sports month I'm having right now.
It's an incredible time to be a New Yorker.
Yeah, it's an incredible time to be a Lexus, bro.
All right.
Let's go.
Let's get started today. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. We the World Cup is almost here.
Oh, my God.
We all getting nervous. We're all getting excited.
Christian and I are getting closer to being legally allowed to announce what we want to announce.
We will be announcing. We'll be announcing things.
Yes.
So be on the lookout. Hello, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are the Cooligans. We have a hot show today.
Alexis Forever. No matter the weather.
Go listen to the audio of the podcast. You want to hear Alexis talk about the Arsenal parade in London. But we are joined by two fantastic guests. I actually don't know the order of the guests. Can we, Carter, who's up first? Okay.
I mean, wait till you hear these two names. You're not going to believe it. I still don't believe it. I'm on this show.
On today's episode of the Cooligans podcast, we are going to be joined by World Cup winner, Olympic gold winner, NWSL champ. She won. Where did she win? She won a couple, right?
We're going to apologize. I haven't looked it up.
We'll confirm that. But the one and only Alex Morgan will be joining us in our second segment. And it doesn't
end there,
folks.
Buckle your seatbelts for this next one if you happen to be driving to work while listening to this.
Next up, after that, we're going to be joined by two players that we spoke to recently after a Zoran Mamdani event a week ago or something like that. We're going to be joined by Mark McKenzie and Tim Weah.
I mean, look at that.
The U.S. men's national team. So we got USWNT, the W and the AMs represented today.
Absolutely, bro. So it's like if you took two M&Ms, would turn one of them upside down. M's and W's, bro.
Wow. Literally, if our production team could throw tomatoes, if we had tomatoes on hand, they would throw them right now.
I just want to know, whoever went, ugh, is fired.
You can't.
You're fired. So, would it help if I said M&M peanuts, by the way? Those are the ones I like.
So we're going to be chatting with them in just a little bit. But today we have to start with the World Cup, obviously, and give our power rankings, because we have, there's a lot to expect and a lot to look forward to. But let's start today with our Cooligan's official World Cup power rankings.
Power rankings.
The World Cup is almost here. There are 48 teams, but who are the real contenders? The Cooligans will give you our power rankings. Alexis and I have not seen each other's rankings, so we gotta see who put the U.S. men's national team either higher on the ranking list or if the USMNT is even there at all.
This is the top topic.
All right, let's start with my list. We got the 2026 World Cup power rankings. We got there. Now, I don't think too many shocks here. We got France, Spain, England.
Okay, we're off the bat, we already got some differences, me and you.
Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there when we get there. I got four, Brazil. So just a heads up, this is top 15 for anybody listening, and we cannot see the graphic. But England at three, Brazil at four, Argentina at five. And stop me if you have any issues with any.
I've got issues.
Okay, go for
Brazil
it.
Four?
Brazil four. Too high, too low?
Way too high.
Interesting.
Now, we watched Brazil play France. And yes. Brazil looked like they shouldn't even be in this top 15.
Yes.
And yet you put them in fourth place.
Brazil also just, they just had their friendly against who? Panama. Panama?
Yeah.
Beat them, what, 5-0? 7-1.
Okay.
Got a little revenge for that Germany.
Okay, can I give you what the asterisk there is?
What is?
The word Panama.
Still.
No disrespect.
They're still.
Beautiful canal.
I'm just saying, we did see them against France, and obviously they didn't really bring that much against a top team like that. But, maybe a little bit of rust. Maybe it was like them figuring out the team, some of the different players. I don't know. Igor Thiago was there for the first time. Maybe they weren't really necessarily settled, but they looked pretty good against
Panama.
They
got dog walked across that entire field, across that entire pitch. And because they beat Panama 7-1.
I'm just saying, my concern with Argentina is that the team is not that young, right? Like, it's still a lot of the same guys from 2022.
For reference, you put Argentina, the current holders of the World Cup trophy,
I did,
behind Brazil, a team that's gonna start Gabriel Martinelli.
Okay,
you understand my complaint here.
Come on, he just won.
Yeah,
that Martinelli. If without Martinelli, they don't win the Premier League.
That's so not 100% true at all. No, it is not.
It's like 80%
true. Maybe we don't get to the Champions League final. I'll give you that, but no chance in hell. But you're gonna take a team that has zero direction. Neymar is injured, their biggest star. We saw them be horrible, and the team that has Messi on it is going to be behind them.
It's not that far behind.
It's crazy. I mean, it's one spot, but still, that's crazy to me. And the fact that you even put England in the top three, I'm just making sure I didn't either. All right, you put England in the top three is a little sus. But I want you to get past. So you said Argentina is in fifth place, which makes sense. Then you went Portugal six.
Yes. Portugal six, seven Germany, Netherlands at eight. Eight is Netherlands. Nine is Belgium. 10 Colombia. And then
Belgium is also a team where I feel like their best players are past it now.
But we also saw Jeremy Doku, and I think he is going to have a breakout like summer. And I think he's going to be the best player for Belgium.
Oh, I completely agree with you, yeah. But I don't know if that's enough. That's all I'm thinking.
That is fair. Then I got the U.S. men's national team at 11.
Mm.
Okay. I was looking at some of the other, the ESPN rankings had the U.S. at 22, which I think is a gross underestimation of how I think the U.S.
I think the truth is somewhere between the two of you.
That's fair. I got Senegal at 12, Ecuador at 13, Morocco at 14, and Norway at 15.
I'm happy. I'm proud you put Norway in there.
Okay.
Because when I was saying Norway was my dark horse, you was talking a little greasy. You was acting like they wouldn't be that great.
I mean, 15th is not that great, but they're there.
Okay, I mean, that's still in your power rankings. I'm impressed. Because the way you were talking about them is like you didn't have a lot of trust and belief that they would even be in the major conversation.
I don't have a huge expectation of them. And I think defensively, I think they're going to be, you know, a liability. And I think they're going to get sort of found out. Do I think Erling Haaland and Sorloth might have decent games? Yes. But overall, I don't have huge expectation for a team where every single player, this is their first World Cup.
Can we place a wager, like a friendly wager? I think Norway will do better in the World Cup than Belgium. Would you be willing to take that wager?
Sure. Friendly wager, unfriendly wager.
The wager is we fight at noon. What do you think we should do?
We always do this, and it wastes time on the show of trying to figure out. We'll figure that out later.
No, let's not figure it out.
I don't know.
Well, before this segment is over, we will figure out what it is.
Okay.
All right. So, and Norway is your last one.
Yeah, okay. So how about Alexis?
Why don't we cut to mine? Because I think this is what's going to be, you know, when you look at this, you're going to be like, wow, this is the power rankings.
Okay.
The most important power rankings of our time.
Let's take a look at Alexis's.
Okay, now this is my power rankings, so you're welcome, world. Number one, we've got France. We're so far the same. Number two, Spain. Number three, Argentina.
All right.
Okay. Number four, England. I had a lot of trouble about putting England even in the top 15. And now I think they have so much talent that even the guys were snubbed would mostly make most people's power, squads.
Right.
There's still something about them being England that stops me from saying that they do belong in the power rankings. You know what I mean? Like, but they trip themselves up. The media puts so much pressure on
them. You called me putting England at third sus, and you put them at fourth.
Fourth, yeah.
What?
But I'm even telling you, I had trouble sus. Even putting them there. Okay. One more. That's one spot out.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, even Germany. Germany has the last two World Cups. I haven't made it past the group stage. I mean,
that's the last two World Cups. I also think Florian Wirtz is going to show out and show that what was happening under Arne Slot.
Yeah.
Was an Arne Slot thing. You know what I mean? It wasn't a him thing. So we got Netherlands at number six, Portugal at number seven. I had a little bit of trouble with Portugal at number seven because I believe it's another team that I think is filled with talent, but I'm a little worried about them putting it together. And that part of that is because I think they're going to defer to Ronaldo. This being, we all assume, his last World Cup. We said this about the last one as well. Mm-hmm. But we all assume his last World Cup. I think they're going to keep deferring to him. And I don't think he's really, you know, he's been playing in Saudi. I know Al Nassr.
Why do you think that? I don't think they're going to defer to him at all.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, he's going to.
You don't think his ego is going to demand it? We watched Bruno Fernandes do this the entire time Cristiano Ronaldo went back to Manchester United. And you don't think they're going to be forced to kind of do that when they get to the World Cup?
No, I would imagine Roberto Martinez has no interest in catering to Ronaldo's ego. Not to say that he doesn't. He's not.
Second wager.
But this is like saying Neymar is going to be. They're going to defer to him. Like,
of course they are.
How? Why?
Because he's Neymar. This is probably his last World Cup.
At the detriment of the team?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I don't think so.
Absolutely. Egos take over when it comes to these things. That's my belief. I could be wrong, but I'm usually not. All right, we got Brazil at number eight. I didn't even want to put him in this whole damn thing. Because that's how ass they looked at the game against France.
You saw them play unarguably the best team in the world right now.
Two of their players were running in circles. I mean, they weren't even playing. It was ridiculous. Mm. There may be some embellishment in that. I got Senegal at number nine. And I know the U.S. just beat Senegal. But again, that was one game. And I have a feeling that Senegal will be able to put it back together the way they did in AFCON. But they looked absolutely incredible. I got Ecuador at 10. Norway, I put at 11 above the U.S.
Okay.
And then comes the United States of America. Again, Norway, I think, is going to be, I could be wrong, but I think they're going to be the superstar nation in this World Cup. I think they're going to shock a lot.
I mean, they have a couple of good players, but they're not like this powerhouse dominant team.
Have you ever? Okay, Erling Haaland isn't like a big guy. He's like an imposing figure, correct?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him standing next to Sorloth, the other striker? He looks tiny, bro. Looks like me standing next to you.
I think they will do fine. Again, I don't have these super high expectations. Erling Haaland is, even in Premier League games, even in Champions League games, you can shut him out of games. They lost to Bodo Glimt.
Sure, but
bro, there's games that like he looks bad.
Yeah, but it's not just him. And also, they play to his strengths the way Dortmund used to. They don't got Pep Guardiola back there going, hey, Erling, do this, this, and this when this and this is happening. They've got a guy going, hey, you know what, Erling, get out there, shine, papa. Yeah, shine for us. Okay. We need you. And Odegaard just won the Premier League. He's going to be renewed. This is going to be a fun team to watch
Just like,
all of a sudden he's great.
Are you an oracle? Why do you know?
Bro, I can tell you, I got this globe at home. It glows and it tells me what to say. It also told me to kill my family. So I should probably get that thing checked. Who's inside that thing? It's a JBL speaker. I just got to stop eating mushrooms. I'm pizza, by the way. Uh-huh. So again, United States at number 12. Then I got Mexico at number 13.
Interesting. It's very high up for Mexico.
It felt like it, but I also want to be like, you're a host nation. Maybe there's like a, there's a little bit. I'm giving the U.S. a host nation bump.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, give Mexico.
For me, I would probably would put Mexico at like 16.
Well, you want to be really upset? After Mexico comes Colombia.
Which is bold.
Ingrid, immediately. our Ingrid is Colombian. She's not even wearing chocolates, but she's holding one up right now.
It's a little disrespectful.
Whatever, they're on the list. And after them, Japan, baby.
Japan at 15.
I was trying to figure out a way to sort of work Japan in there before, because I do think Japan shows up to World Cups or most, you know, international competitions with just having this sort of, you know, they're very unified as a nation, where other teams are kind of still figuring out, like, oh, that's what you do at your club. Japan just kind of says, like, here's how we're going to play. And I think they catch a lot of people by surprise early on.
Yeah, there's a style of play that, and this is what I love about Japan, even on the women's side as well, during women's tournaments as well. Like, the team is just, there's a style of play, almost like, when you watch Spain, whether you're watching the men or the
women,
like they know what they need to do to succeed, and there's usually the comparison about like, or the stereotype of like that the Japanese are not as like athletic as some of the other countries that they might be playing, and they still find a way to find some success. Right. Like,
I would never say that. Wow.
I'm not
racist.
That's just a stereotype. Just like African players have to deal with the pace and power and whatever. Absolutely.
Another thing I would never say, but that's my power rankings, and I truly believe Norway is going to prove you wrong, and I think Belgium is also going to prove you wrong.
Okay. I think Brazil's gonna prove you wrong. Given that there's 48 teams, I think there will, you know, you're making the jokes about Brazil beating up against Panama, but Brazil, a lot of these teams that are playing, a lot of the nations that are there for the first time, or like quote unquote weaker nations, is gonna be, I think, Norway. Depending, I don't know who's in their group, but there's going to be some little bit of stat padding with some of the teams that they're going to be playing against.
I think Erling Haaland's going to have a big... I think
they'll be fine. They'll get to the round of 32, round of 16.
I mean, in order for us to be right, all of those teams have to make it to the round of 16. How confident are you that all of your 15 picks are going to make it into the round of 15?
That's a good question. I think all of them. Unless they're like, you know, three are in the same group or something like
who's,
that.
Who's most likely of your picks to not make it to the round of 16, you think?
To not make it. Interesting.
You put Morocco.
Round of 16. Okay, then I'm going to say.
So that's the second round.
I'm going to say Norway. I would say Norway and maybe Ecuador. So Ecuador, the only reason I'm worried about Ecuador is
they are very defensive, but they got no scoring.
It's Ener Valencia still, bro.
Yeah, no. With him and Ronaldo, like, remember 86?
And Memo Ochoa. Like, yeah. They're all sharing a cigar. Like, you can't believe they called us in again.
We're too old for this.
So that's my concern. So they'll be like those. I don't know if upset is the right word, but those like disappointments where like they, you know, I think teams like Norway, teams like Ecuador think like we should be getting at least one round further and are hit with that disappointment. So those are the two I don't think we'll get to the
interesting. Round I didn't of 16. Put Morocco in mine.
Yeah, I think Morocco is still a super strong
team.
Very
good.
I didn't put Mexico in mine. But I don't think Mexico.
Okay, well, somebody doesn't want Chicharito back on the podcast.
But you imagine, you know, the clip when Mexico gets eliminated, if and when, I don't want to assume, if and when they get eliminated, the clip of Chicharito going in on the team is going to be fantastic. In English, bro. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be crazy. So that's it, man. We're obviously looking forward to this World Cup, but let us know what you think about these power rankings.
I mean, what an honor. This
come
is,
on.
I mean, I usually don't get nervous. We've had some, you know, superstars on this show, but this is like long overdue.
Yeah, absolutely. When we wrote our list when this show started of folks we wanted to have on this show, she was at the top, said no forever, but I guess now she has time. now that she's retired, she's good to come on the show. I'm absolutely honored. U.S. Women's National Team, NWSL superstar. Previous to that, had to play in places I would never want to play, like Buffalo and Tottenham. The one, the only, Alex Morgan, everybody.
Alex, hey. What's going
Hello,
on?
Hello, what's up? I see the throwback loyal jersey. Love that.
Oh, no doubt. Thank you. Of course. Shout out to San Diego. I wanted to give you some props. I think you may have noticed my co-host is an Arsenal fan, so which is why the little Tottenham dig.
Yeah, that's fine. I was only there for 3 months, so it's all right.
Yep. Okay. I know, it broke my heart. I ain't going to lie to you, but you were there. I do want to ask, you grew up in, officially it's like San Dimas, but you never know, California,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Diamond Bar, yeah.
That's it, Diamond Bar. I knew there was like a difference there, right? So you grew up in Southern California, and then you become a pro, and now you have to go play in Buffalo. How big of a change was that? That's literally the opposite of Southern California, like literally.
Do we have Buffalo fans with the Cooligans? Because I'm a little, I don't know what I can
no,
say.
No, Giants. We're Giants fans. Yeah. You know, okay.
But also, everyone gets roasted on the show, so go for it.
All right. Yeah, Buffalo was a shock to the system, for sure. But, you know, there was no winter soccer. Still is kind of a spring, summer, fall league right now. So I think I got there, it was like 25 degrees, and the next day it was 75 degrees, and I was like, what is this? Being from Southern California, I don't know this range. Like, this doesn't exist. So it was...
You were like, we do 70 to 80, max.
I mean, yeah, there was... I didn't know how to dress. I kind of stayed indoors, literally, just tried to stay indoors.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a... I mean, look, watching your career, and then even since we've been doing the show, you are like this, and I'm curious about your perspective on it, like this superstar on, and I've seen you sort of talk about it occasionally, but like the publicity, on the pitch, a mom, she does it all. You know what I mean? There's something to even before you became a mom, I mean, the demands, I mean, and I think you may have seen it with, you know, the easy comparison is like Mia Hamm, everybody, you know, on all the magazines and cereal boxes. The what's that life like now of like, you still have that notoriety, but then the roles are a little bit different.
It's wonderful. I love my life now. I don't have a microphone shoved in front of my face every day or a camera, which is really nice, actually. I get to pick and choose what I want to post on social media, when and where. I get to pick and choose like who I share my life with now, and it's really different. I think I've taken probably like an uncommon approach for when I retired from soccer. I really embraced like my business ventures and being a mom and stepping back from the spotlight a little bit more. Like I don't host a podcast. I'm not like a commentator. I'm, you know, doing businesses in a different way. I'm an investor in the San Diego Wave. I still sit on a lot of councils and groups in sports. And so I'm very involved in that way, but I'm not super forward facing and I am really enjoying it. It's just a different outlook. And I get to spend a lot more time with my kids and I love it.
You bring up a great point because you're used to going out, giving it your all week, training, going out for 90 minutes, performing, and then immediately the media is in your face asking you about how you did in every moment in that in that sort of match. But now you're doing business, right? You're doing different businesses. You're an entrepreneur. You're investing. You're helping guide, I'm sure, future stars. What if we did the same thing? What if we had a post-game conference for you? Like, as you step out of Erewhon, there's a step and repeat, and we got microphones in your face, and we're asking, yo, why'd you buy that grain instead of chia seeds?
Yeah.
Would you feel more comfortable, Alex?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be doing that. I'd probably be using my Dash Pass to be getting everything delivered. I'm too busy nowadays to be walking out of grocery stores. I just get them delivered. So another reason why you guys wouldn't catch me. me. So sorry, you'd have to find a different way, which is probably why for years you've been trying to get me on your show. And finally I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah, finally.
And you have every, you know, I think in this part of your career, you had every option to say no. And you were like, all right, this is, I'll give them an opportunity. So yeah. Hopefully we're doing all right in these 5 minutes.
Well,
and
DoorDash
seconds.
Is so good. DoorDash just delivered us Alex Morgan. This is pretty great.
There we go. Look, what, I mean, are they going to add us to the campaign? Shout out to DoorDash.
Heavily discounted.
Yeah.
So what I want to ask very quickly, because a couple months ago, we had Boston Legacy goalkeeper Casey Murphy on the show, a U.S. Women's National Team player as well.
That name ring a bell?
So, and we asked her about, we asked her about the last penalty that you ever took in NWSL, and she was the goalkeeper, and she happened to stop it. So she gave her perspective. She didn't listen. She didn't. I think we were sort of like hoping she would be like, let's go. Yeah, I stopped Alex Morgan's last shot. She didn't do that at all. So I wonder what your perspective is from that moment, because it felt like, you know, I guess from a fan perspective, I'm like, oh, is the storyline ruined? Is the ending ruined because of Casey Murphy? You know what I mean? Like, what is your thought on it when you look
back? No, Casey is such a good person, first of all, and an amazing goalkeeper. And also, my penalty was actually pretty good, but she's just a legit goalkeeper and saved it. By the way, I was 3 months pregnant, and the whole world had found out, including kind of myself, like very last minute, like, oh, I'm retiring. Also, I'm pregnant. Also, like, this will be my last game in 3 days. So there was a lot going on for everyone. And you can imagine my mental state, like trying to process everything. So even getting to play for those 13 last minutes and then getting that penalty, you know, it's part of the game. You know, I don't like wish I would have gone back and like gone the other way or let Casey let me score that. You know, it's the game of soccer. And you win some, you lose some, you score some, you miss some. I have missed bigger penalties in World Cups, and bigger moments. And that it's honestly just, it's soccer, you know, you kind of got to look back and be like, that is sports. And there's like, there's no like wishing you would have done anything differently. It's kind of just like, you got to deal with it and figure out like your emotions and handle it in the present rather than like looking back or looking forward too much. And that's kind of how I lived my life as an athlete, was trying to like live in the moment. And I tried to pass that down to the younger players, is like, don't think about what you could have done. Stop thinking about what you should be doing. Just focus on now, focus on what you can be doing now, how you're reacting to a coach's decision on if you're, you know, starter or a bench player, or if you don't make a roster, like what you do now is the most important thing.
I know when you had your first kid, it was like big news. Everybody was so excited. But I'm sure there's moments where you're home alone with this kid changing a diaper, and there's just poop everywhere, and you're thinking to yourself,
"Oh, you guys have no idea." Yeah,
I don't have any kids. Christian has a kid, but I'm just like, there's poop everywhere. But you must have had a moment a little different than the rest of us, because I've changed my like nephew's diaper, and I'm like, I can't do this. But you're like, I've been in World Cup finals. I should be able to do this. Did you have that moment when you had your first one?
There was a lot of moments when I had my daughter, and you know, I was also, I moved to, you know, London and played for Tottenham when my daughter was 4 months old. And by the way, my husband, Toronto, was still playing in Miami. So it was like, we left, I'm trying to get back to playing because it's COVID and get back from like pregnancy and everything. And trying to figure this out alone a little bit, in a new place, a new country. So yeah, there was a lot of moments where I was like, I can easily go play a World Cup game in my sleep, but figuring out this like situation with my daughter right now and waking up at 3, 4, 5 a.m. then going to train, this is the hard part.
Yeah, I mean, I've been sort of my son is, he just turned 3, but I've been like telling like you know, these stories on stage about like, you know, labor and being like experiencing that as the non-birthing parent. And then like sometimes my wife will be like stressed with something and she'll be like, oh, I don't feel good about myself. And I'm like, as the non-birthing parent, I'm like, you pushed the baby out. How didn't that push your confidence to an annoying level where you're like, I can do anything. I created a human being and I brought them into the world.
Listen, I had already won 2 World Cups and an Olympics by the time I gave birth to my daughter. But the respect my husband had for me after giving birth to my daughter, it was like I was Joe Schmo before. And then all of a sudden, I was like invincible. I'm like, okay.
They like, yeah. Did you not see my resume before this? I've done a couple things.
I remember when I was in seventh grade and they show you what a birthing video looks like, you know, to prepare you, you know, like in sex ed. I was just like, that's what happens, bro.
No, that's let's bring not back what the happens. Stork. That is not. It's way more vulgar. We don't need to get into that.
Right. Alex, I want to get a few more details. You're involved in DoorDash's 7th annual Summer Dash Pass is back. You're part of that campaign, and also they're involved in obviously World Cup 2026. Can you talk about that partnership and maybe things you got going on, anything you're working on in specific to promote that?
Yeah, absolutely. Really excited to partner with DoorDash, especially for the summer of Dash Pass in ways that for me as a mom and a businesswoman, it's very convenient for me to get things delivered. You guys probably would be embarrassed at the amount of times I use DoorDash a week. Which maybe you guys do too. I don't know. I feel like everyone kind of does now. Yeah. Not only do I not really cook, but now just like groceries or little things being delivered, I'm like, sure, like double dash, might as well select it. It's like, do I need this ice cream? No, but I mean, it's right there and it's easy, so might as well. So that's always, it's been a great partnership. Excited to see the commercial that I was a little part of and kind of a little behind the scenes snippets of kind of what Dashers go through in a typical day as we're all like cheering on the World Cup teams in the U.S. Are we all cheering on the U.S.? Cheering on the U.S. And kind of what they go through to get us whatever we need during a game. So it's going to be a really fun summer. I can't wait. I'm going to be going to most of the games. I don't know about you guys, but I'm there.
We're not Alex Morgan.
My summer, okay?
we're not Alex Morgan, but if you need an assistant, please let us know. You get two comedians to follow your own with microphones.
Yeah.
Double dashing is dangerous though, because there's been times where my favorite thing to DoorDash to deliver in is probably Thai food. There's a lot of great Thai restaurants here
so
in Brooklyn.
Good. Yeah.
Dude, Masaman curry is just a constant. You know what I mean? But the double dash is like, yeah.
And how does it come to the house like so hot, like piping
and
hot,
it's so hot
still? You're like, what?
I have to let it sit, which is crazy. I'm like, what was it like on your bike, sir? But
I get the double dash is like on your front door.
The restaurant's at my door. But the double dash is like, you sure you don't need a cookie and a toenail clipper? I'm like, I need both of those things. Bring me that.
How do they know?
It's like, what a weird order.
Yeah.
Incredible. Alex, how are you? We've had the luxury and privilege of having several of the U.S. men's national team players on recently. We Weston, McKennie, and Tyler Adams have been on. So we've been talking to them about, you know, what we sort of are looking forward to in this World Cup. I mean, the friendlies for the U.S. men's national team has been where we're like, oh, these results are... maybe we can ask this to you because we asked Weston, but like when you played in friendlies, do you think about the results that much, and do they affect like, you know, how you feel or how the team feels about the real matches, or is it not that big of a deal if you don't get the great results in friendlies?
Well, it's interesting because I think like media and fans make it a big deal. So then it like gets in your head like, oh, maybe it kind of is a big deal. But then at the end of the day, like the coaches finalizing roster, like sometimes they need to see players, so it might not be like a typical starter, but like they need to see like, can they last 60 minutes or 90 minutes, or would this midfield combination be good if like someone has a yellow card accumulation or gets injured? Like they need to try different things before a World Cup. So I think those are the things that like fans don't see or aren't like privy to that information.
Yeah.
So I don't think it matters as much as people are reading into. If anything, I remember us losing in January. And, you know, the U.S. women's national team does not lose much or, you know, ever. It's very rare. Losing in January of each World Cup year, like 3-0 or something like ridiculous amount. And it's kind of like people want to blow it up like, oh, my God, this is like, is this a forecasting for what's to come in the World Cup? And no, we started to be like, we're expecting to lose leading up into the World Cup because that's what we've done. And then we've won the World Cup. So this is what's probably going to happen. But that's just kind of how it goes. So I think people are reading into it in a way that I'm like, we're going to be good. We're going to be great.
Okay. All right.
But the last question I have for you is we had Christian Pulisic on. And when I think of Christian Pulisic and what he's going through now with this World Cup, there was so much pressure heaped on you at a young age. And people tracked your career so, so much. Like you had such a spotlight on you from the early that there was this like,
yeah.
You had the same thing he's probably going through, which is like this. Now you're older. Now you're at your peak. Now you need to deliver with the hope that we gave you from when you were 17, 18, 19 years old. Can you talk a little bit about that pressure? And you seem like someone who can push a lot of that off, Christian, as well. But does that seep in a little bit? Does that affect the way you play? Do you put more on your shoulders when you walk into a big tournament like a World Cup with that level of pressure?
I mean, obviously, you look at, you know, the cameras are going to be pointing at your direction. You're going to be one of the ones interviewed the most in post-match, pre-match. You're going to be asked to do more things. More eyes are going to be on you. And then especially this being in the U.S., for sure, like, he has to manage, like, himself and keep, like, his bubble tight of like his friends, family, and his teammates, and not let anything affect him too much. I think like just even being off of social media might be like the best thing as, you know, when it comes to going into a World Cup, which a lot of my teammates did, because it was kind of like you have this perception of yourself and your team and how you guys are feeling and the confidence. And then you start to read online and you have these doubters, or maybe you have like a game where you tie, you should have won. And then you're starting to like doubt in a way that you probably shouldn't. So I think like what I did and my biggest advice would be just to like keep the bubble tight. Don't let like outside opinions affect yours. And then just be yourself. You don't need to be anything more. Like if you got to this position and obviously you're one of the best players in the world, one of the best, if not the best, the one that people look to in the U.S. On the U.S. team, obviously now veteran because he's been on the team for many years. It's kind of like, you don't need to change for anyone. Like people need to change their expectations for you and what like they can expect out of you. And you're going to deliver greatness, but you can't do that every single minute of every match. And so it's kind of just going set, like being steady as she goes and just managing your emotions each game as it comes, not getting too far ahead, not thinking down the road, like round of 16, quarterfinals, whatever it may be, like, no, take each game at a time. Like, that's it. So for sure, I've been through all of that and all the different, like, I'm the go-to player, or, you know, I'm one of three, like, captains, leaders on the team. I'm the young one, but still expected to come in and, like, play super well. It just, at this point now, it's like Christian is Christian and he's going to deliver greatness and we can't expect that to be every single minute like any other player. But he needs to just manage kind of his group, his bubble.
Yeah. Ever since, you know, we've been like, obviously Christian Pulisic comes up a lot and my name's also Christian. So even when you say like Christian's going to deliver greatness, I'm like, is she talking about me? I think she might. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah. You're like getting pumped up. Like, here we go.
She believes in me, which is incredible. Alex, just last thing. I want to ask two quick questions. Oh, I just want to say one thing. Alyssa Nair saved that shot in the World Cup. Well, I want to make sure I want to say that. And then, the one thing I really want to do is that I hope you come back on the show sometime because I would love to have a longer conversation with you. But I've always wanted to say this to you. I really want to give you your flowers in regards to, you know, you were a fantastic player on the pitch. You obviously, when it comes to marketability, you did that as well and always pushed up and pushed forward the U.S. Women's National Team and just American soccer. But one of the things that I think a lot of people don't talk enough about. It's just your efforts in when it came to the CBA, equal pay, the scandal with in Portland and speaking up and all these things. I mean, you are very much an activist and really protect and take care of your teammates and your peers. And I whether you respond to that, I don't know how you're going to respond to that, but I just wanted to make sure I told you that before we let you go. So thank you so much for everything you've done, Alex Morgan.
Yeah, thank you. That means a lot. I do know that my voice and what I say carried a lot of weight, still does, but definitely when I was in my prime. So I knew that there was really important things that I needed to put my voice and my efforts behind. One of the biggest things in NWSL, and they are better for it now, was the lack of harassment and abuse policies that existed, or yeah, just no, none of those policies existed previous to Mana, Sinead, and others coming forward about their assault and abuse, sexual assault and abuse within the NWSL, specifically at Portland. And so I knew what I had to do as a teammate and a friend, especially working, you know, side by side with Mana for months, really, over a year until this finally came out. From an article that we trusted Meg Linhan to write. I think just overall, like things like that, also with the fight for equal pay, I just realized kind of just the weight that that my voice had, like in situations like that. And I wanted to make sure that when I did speak up, like I was doing it in a way that was impactful and that people like actually listened. There was really things that were not right, both on the equal pay side with, you know, U.S. soccer and with the abuse and harassment in the NWSL. And we are all better for it now, which I'm really proud to be able to play a part in. So thank you so much for saying that.
No doubt.
Of course.
Yeah, it's nothing short of inspiring. So, yeah, thank you so much for saying that. Alex Morgan, like we said, you are welcome on the show anytime. We were absolutely honored to talk to you just for a few minutes. But hopefully we might bump into you at a World Cup match. Who knows?
Can I make a suggestion before you go? Can we get an Alex Morgan DoorDash order that we could click on and get whatever your Thai order is, whatever you're getting from the grocery store?
It might not be piping hot by the time it gets to you.
Yeah, but maybe that locally they have the same things. Okay. Come on.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Alex, thank you so much.
Yeah, no, appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
When we talk about superstars on this show, we're talking about people who do it on the pitch, who are way more athletic than either of us. That's the first start.
Miles, what's good, man?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
I know, so just for full transparency to the audience, you cannot see us, but we can see you.
Oh,
and just I mean, you're gonna have to open up our Instagram, whatever. If you
I know, like, it's a weird kind of thing going on. I'm just looking at a black screen, but I guess I'll pretend to envision what you guys look like.
All good, bro. All good, bro. Miles, thank you so much for joining us, man. Like Alexis said, we've been watching you for a long time, man, for you know, whether it was in Atlanta in the early years and with the national team. It's like we've been sort of seeing you kind of just grow up to, like, where we all thought you would kind of go, right? But leading into just World Cup right now, like the last couple weeks, we've been speaking to a lot of your teammates on the national team. We've spoken to some of your teammates on FC Cincinnati as well. But when looking forward to this World Cup and just whether you're on the roster or not, like, what is the mindset right now leading into this big tournament?
I mean, first and foremost, just gratitude. You know, I'm happy to be in this position. I'm happy to be healthy, back in fit, and excited for our game tomorrow. But in general, I'm just kind of focused on our next objective. I'm trying to stay present in the moment, stay focused. And if I do that, I know, you know, good things are bound to come.
Man. One of my favorite things about you is just how stoic you tend to be. You're sort of a quiet killer when you're on the pitch. But you're from Boston, and that's the opposite of most people from Boston. Quiet. What? How did you develop this energy and attitude being from Arlington, but you're so stoic?
I'm not sure, honestly. I think it's just who I am. I think my parents are pretty stoic when it comes down to it, or at least my dad. But in general, I kind of just like to, you know, sit back and watch how things play out. And then if I need to get active and get more, you know, aggressive or loud, you know, I might have to. But for me personally, I just kind of like to stay even keel, you know, steady headed. That's where I can, you know, I think get the most done on the pitch.
Okay. Is that a, you know, when I think of you and your stature, like you're a unit in Major League Soccer, especially in just American soccer. Is that, because when, you know, we've got to meet plenty of center backs. And like Oguchi Onye was like sort of the name that I think of like a dude that was menacing on the pitch, but also like carried himself in a way that was also seemed a little bit intimidating. But you also, you do the talking on the pitch as opposed to carrying yourself in an intimidating way. Is that ever a thing where people try to check you in the league of like, oh, let me see if this nice guy is really about it?
To be honest, I don't know if there's that many players that are really like checking players like me in the league. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I would respect anyone that does, like, first and foremost. But I think in this point of my career, there's a good amount of players in the league that know who I am, but they're not really like about like checking. There's some players that enjoy that type of thing, and you know, all power to them getting involved in those types of things. But for me personally, I'm just trying to get dialed in. If I'm yelling, most of the time it might be to the ref, but for me, okay. In general, like, I'm just trying to win the game and do whatever it takes to win, and that's always what I'm focused the most about.
Now, you grew up in Massachusetts. Pretty much you're a Red Sox fan or you're a Patriots fan for the most part, right? Or a Revs fan. You played in Atlanta. There's really no in-state rivalry for Atlanta United. Now you're playing at Cincinnati. And, yo, the in-state rivalry is about as heated as it gets, pretty much, especially on the eastern side of this country. Has that changed your viewpoint of rivalries a little bit? Because, like, now there's like an imaginary border of where you can actually go and be safe in Ohio, especially if you win.
Nah, definitely. I appreciate it for sure. Like, I do like that rivalry, you know? It kind of brings back like Red Sox, Yankees growing up. But yeah, that in-state rivalry, Columbus-Cincinnati, it was much bigger than I thought it was when I came here. And then I recognized how much people from Cincinnati really like don't necessarily love, you know, the people from Columbus and vice versa. So I've definitely seen what it means to the fans just by, you know, playing in those games. Those Hell is Real derbies are definitely electric. And, you know, I'm definitely grateful to be a part of them. And I know there's a lot of great tailgates when it comes down to it. People are probably spilling all the types of stuff left and right. They're probably scooping it up with their bounty, but besides that, yes, you know how it goes.
I love the plug, because I was just going to ask you about, yeah, I know you have a partnership with Bounty. Can you talk a little bit more about what the partnership involves, and besides, you know, cleaning up the messes of some of your midfielders where you have to track back and get win a ball back?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Sometimes I might have to be that bounty and, you know, clean up the mess. But yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm grateful to be a part of Bounty's team. And I think in general, the tailgates and the MLS are some of the best in the country. So I know Bounty's always there to clean up all the messes that are being made, but hopefully not too much mess. But I know I can get, you know, pretty messy if I'm really tailgating. If I'm really activated, probably.
Well, let me ask you, Miles. You know, a lot of times, I think losses really, or mistakes in particular during a match, can really hurt somebody. But it seems to me like you're someone that maybe wants to put their arm around a player and have them get back in the game and get back in focus and get back to 100%. What makes you such a quicker picker-upper? Speaking about
that. That was just doing the work for you, Miles.
But that was actually really
good. Yeah, I'm going to get a cut of that check, Miles. I ain't going to lie to you, dog.
You deserve it. I must say, you deserve it. Yeah, honestly, I think I just try to stay focused in every aspect of the game, you know? And when some teammates go down or maybe have a few bad touches, I try to, you know, stay focused, you know, make sure they're really dialed in. Cause that's what like I like to do off the field as well, you know, kind of just bring the guys together and enjoy ourselves.
Miles Robinson, brother, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Can you see us now? Maybe is that possible or no?
I do see you guys now. I hope the Wi-Fi doesn't cut out. So I don't know. This seems like it's 21st century problem.
All honestly. Good, man. No worries, dude. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Best of luck.
Whoever wins the Hell is Real Derby gets better internet. I think that's what we're going to do.
literally.
That's on the line. I don't know what's going on in Ohio right now, but we'll sort it out soon. Miles, thank you so much, brother. Best of luck for the rest of the season, but thank you so much for joining us on The Cooligans, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. This was great. You guys are funny, that's for sure.
I mean, what the f*** is going on here? Dude, this is crazy.
The last, like, what?
First of all, I just want you to know, I can't even see you because the blink. You look at me ashamed. It's just apologies. In my eyes. I can't see
apologies to all the viewers. I've been all bright. No, dude, the last few weeks, we've had the honor of having several U.S. men's national team players on. We just spoke to Jedi. Christian was just on the show.
Yeah.
Tyler.
We are just Tim as surprised Reed. As you guys are.
Yeah, bro. It's wild. But they were like,
No. Christian, I saw the look in your eye. No, yeah, we were also. Yeah. When the email came through, it said, this is going to be a doppelganger.
We'll send it right to you. Please do.
But you know you don't do interviews.
Hilarious. But it's been I don't know, an exploration and just seeing all the personalities, seeing everything. Leading, I mean, the roster reveals next week. Obviously, we're talking to both you guys. We're hoping your names are called next week. We're going to be there at the roster reveal as well. But just looking forward to this World Cup and just this moment. And just and New York, can you talk about how New York is represented in this World Cup and what would it mean for both you guys to be there?
I mean, honestly, you think about it, like, the World Cup is the pinnacle of soccer in general, right? The World Cup is the dream of any young kid, but then you add into the fact that this is, like, the cultural mecca of the world, and I'll stand on that. I'll watch with your mom about that. You bring the game here, you get to experience that in its purest form. You bring out people from all walks of life here in the sound of the city. Yeah, well, I mean, what better way to do that than out here, you know, together, so... Yeah, it's something special, something that, sure, Tim and I, if we get the opportunity to play in this World Cup, you know, we'll look back on for many years, but I'm sure the city is going to be, it's going to go even greater things are going to happen.
I don't really have to say much, honestly. He done said everything, but, you know, I'm New York through and through, so, you know, I think the culture that we have here is definitely a football culture. Obviously, we have basketball as well, and the Knicks.
Knicks on the basketball culture.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
But I think football, you know, we have a huge football culture here, and I think it's gonna pop out this summer. So hopefully I can be at the forefront of all of it playing. And,
for those people that are watching and listening right now, they're hearing the accents. You said you New York all day, you a Bronx boy, right? You Queens dude.
Yeah.
All right. What's the most Bronx thing about you, Mark? And what's the most Queens thing about you, Tim?
Oh, man.
We don't play games.
Bro. And sometimes, like, I come off aggressive. But I'm not. I'm chill. Sometimes I come off aggressive, but I'm not.
That's the most New York thing. New York. Like, I'm being chill right now. Everyone's like, you just destroyed this entire building.
Yeah. What are you talking about? We know the Clint Dempsey, Michael Richards, that you don't know where I'm from, dog. But for you guys, it's like, y'all know where I'm from.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be any surprises.
Yeah, nah.
That's it. The biggest thing, what I find is, being in Europe, a lot of people don't realize, like, we are getting to it, right?
Yeah.
About our hustle.
Very direct. We're very upfront.
And that can be, like, a braces, but
yeah, it's
just who we are. Right. You know what I mean?
Someone even say that Mark is not here to lose. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
Don't tell me you never heard this before.
You know, this was never from the look on his face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I did that with Mark. Just cause, you know? Just cause.
See, we interviewed Tim before. He was like, expecting this. And you were just surprised by this.
I didn't expect that. I respect that.
Ridiculous. I love that we got that pun off, though. That's crazy.
Tim, I do want to ask, especially the fact when we found out you were going to be here, I think we were a bit surprised in the fact that, you know, you made a little bit of news when you were talking about the ticket prices in the World Cup. And
a little trouble. A little bit.
But the fact that you're here and really standing on something that's really important to you and us as New Yorkers is incredibly important as well. So what did it mean to be able to be here, be with the mayor and do this?
No, it was a great experience. I think, I did get into a bit of a little
trouble. we heard. But, we talked about it. We did three segments on that.
But, you know, that's why we play the game. I mean, you have a voice to use. We have a platform, and I think the best thing to do is to speak on things that we're not okay with and things that we wanna improve. And look, I spoke out, and the mayor heard it, and he's doing a wonderful thing. And you know, I'm just happy to be a part of that. And yeah, all the conversations are more in office now.
Yeah, obviously. Okay, yeah. Right.
But no, it's a great feeling. I think as kids growing up, you know, it was our dream to be able to be a part of these huge tournaments to see our favorite players. And you know, as an inner city kid, you know, I want to give those kids the same experience. So you know, I'm just happy to be at the forefront of it and be able to put a smile on their faces and bring joy to homes.
I applaud you for that, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, right? And what about adults that can't afford to go to the game?
You trying to help us out?
It's the parents.
It's
for the parents.
Yeah.
That's
the kid's dream. The kid's dream, and I think the next generation is the most important. And you know, as a kid that loves his community as well, I think I would love to see, you know, kids from my community to be able to experience, you know, the World Cup, because that's all we have.
I love it because you are probably of all people could be easily accused of being this like nepo baby, whatever.
Facts.
But you look out, you know, you're not pulling up the ladder behind you. So it's great to see. That's why.
And mind you, if your parents have the resources, there's nothing wrong with taking advantage of it. I promise you.
This is what I've always found.
But always remember to stay humble and hustle. That's the most. Because your parents can lead the way. They can open the doors. But you have to stay in the room.
You got
to
walk through. You got to walk through.
I love it. All right.
I got one last question. Regardless of who wins the World Cup, the final's going to be in New York.
Yeah.
Tell the people, where should the players go party? Where would y'all go if y'all was winning? The way he looked at you just now, you know, there's a list of places you might not be allowed back into.
Hold on, I don't even party like that no more.
That's what I was just about to say.
Sure you were. The amount of bullshit right now is crazy.
I'm unk now, but if y'all do want to party, shout out to my boys at Tao. Somewhere, nowhere.
Why
do
every professional footballer go to Tao, dog?
Because it's a vibe. It's a vibe.
Is it, though? It's corny, bro. It's been around for years. No.
It's a vibe.
Is it? I definitely want to hang out with the finance bros, bro.
You're not going with the right people.
That's the problem. Okay, so then we need to change that.
Okay, yeah, change that's the issue.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You're not going with the right people.
Yeah. Mark, Tim, look, it's an honor to be able to talk to you guys and be able to see you at the World Cup. We're going to be, you know, we haven't announced it yet, but we'll probably be around some of the
cities. We'll be jumping around.
We're following you guys a little bit.
You can't announce it yet until the first one. FIFA gets mad at you, apparently. If you announce it, we've already got in trouble, so we won't do it. But it's going to be big. And yeah, man, we're really excited. And most importantly, thank y'all for putting New York on your back.
I love to see that representation on the U.S. men's national team. It's important.
Right. And we thought you were Philly. We like this.
Yeah.
We like this. Let's go to Papa Ye in a bar.
Hey, let's pull up.
Come on, let's go.
You think I'm out?
I'm going to jump off right now. I'm starving, bro.
All right, that's a wrap. Let's wrap it up right there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Shout out to the legend, Alex Morgan. Wow, how cool. was that. She was so awesome. Really great to talk to. I'm glad we got
one of those players that we didn't really get to talk to much throughout her career, so I'm glad she finally came on the show.
Yeah, I wonder, I don't know how we never crossed paths, which is a shame, but yeah. I'm glad we finally got to do that. So shout out to...
Did you say cross paths?
I did not. But
I think you did.
I mean, whatever.
I listen, I never crossed her path either.
I mean, okay, if you want to, you're the one hopped up on caffeine.
I am so shit stuff right now.
You're going through whatever. I'll let you figure that out.
I am going to take the wildest nap right after this.
So, and also shout out to Miles Robinson, Tim Weah, and Mark McKenzie. We spoke to them before they were officially called up. Obviously, they all
you
made
can tell
it,
that from the conversation. Yeah, but we all knew. You're not here. You weren't in the city if you weren't. So.
Next up, Diego.
Sorry, Carl's Jr. won't let us interview him ever again.
But no, shout out to them, and it was really cool to connect with them too. So everybody, just be on the lookout again. We have a bunch of cool announcements coming up real soon, but. I mean, especially throughout this World Cup, the Cooligans is where you want to be. I mean, there's no other comedy duo doing anything soccer.
There better not be.
There better not be.
Because we'll hear from our lawyer.
Okay.
We waited too damn long.
tell your friends, tell people, especially if they're new soccer fans getting into the sport. I think this is definitely a good gateway drug, I would say. I think that's what the Cooligans are.
Interesting.
Also, if you need speed.
We're
gotcha.
Weed, dude. We're like weed, dude.
You need contraband?
Yeah. You start with us. Next thing you know, you're doing blow in the bathroom of a nightclub, and you don't remember how you got there.
You know what? You're doing blow watching the Gold Cup.
Yeah, doing blow is Nations League. Watching a Nations League tactical breakdown video.
Okay, this is how it starts.
Yeah, your family is all standing there with letters saying, I love you.
And if you're a parent and you're listening to this show, watching the show, this is safe for your kids. Don't worry about this.
100%. The amount of children that come up to us and go, my parents listen to you over in the car going to school. And I'm just like, I'm so sorry for the influence that Christian has caused.
Right. It's always me.
Yeah.
So.
No, I met a kid. He was scratching his neck, and he was all like, I just need spreadsheets. And I was like, oh, no.
That's
Christian. Kind of
they ask me for homework.
Oh, no. How do I do this without AI? And I'm like, I don't know how. Go to Christian. Yeah.
So we'll be back on Monday with a new episode. And obviously then the World Cup starts on Thursday that week. And we'll be a bunch of announcements on Monday. A lot of stuff to promote. So be on the lookout for that. All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode. We'll be back on Monday. I believe there are no games. There's no club. The club season is over. So some of your teams might be playing friendly. So I hope your country loses. Okay. So we'll see you on Monday, everybody.
All right. We're not talking to Ukraine in the war. We hope you guys win. Love you guys.